Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Seller Performance Solutions. I'm here once again with Leah McHugh, and she has some illustrious insights to share today based on some interesting casework we've been doing, but just examples of, how shall I phrase this?
I think how their own system works is where the misunderstanding is. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's the best way to kick this off? Because this is something that you were primarily... Focus.
Yeah, well, so number one, it seems like suspensions for variation misuse or detail page misuse is back in fashion. We usually see it every 6 months or so, and then we don't see any for a while. But one thing I've seen on a couple of cases now where seller performance team doesn't really know how the catalog system works, which I think maybe you can attest to, Chris.
They don't train them on that.
I mean, right.
I guess the way I was planning on introducing this was Prime Day isn't that far away. And in June tends to be when they do these sort of skirmishes and cleanup actions because they don't want to deal with it in July. They don't want to deal with anything messy in July that they don't have to because there's enough messy other stuff in July. So June is sort of the mop up month, right?
Yeah. One, I've been seeing a lot of technical issues that are quite a bit bigger than issues I've seen before. But two, it just seems that the performance team and I guess their tools don't really know how the catalog system works. So I've seen a number of cases now where, actually, let me go back. So the people who aren't familiar with the struggle of listing things correctly on Amazon, if Amazon already has something in their system, depending on the attribute, if the information that you're providing doesn't exactly match what's in their system, they will reject it. So even if it's wrong, a lot of times you need to just accept that incorrect information to get the listing into your catalog. And then once it's in your catalog, you can then correct the information. And so I've worked with a few sellers now where they did just that. They were either the brand or they were authorized by the brand to correct incorrect information in Amazon's catalog. And in order to do that, they had to add it to their catalog with the wrong information to then fix it with the correct information. And this apparently is flagging something in Amazon's tools that they must be committing catalog abuse because they were then suspended for adding incorrect information. And then their appeal saying that that is actually not what they did didn't go anywhere because, again, performance, as far as they can see, it looks like they added information and then changed it. We had to escalate in order to get it properly reviewed and reinstated by somebody that understood how Amazon systems work. And seller performance even, well, actually, probably more account health. Account health kept saying, well, you should have made the changes through brand registry, which isn't actually something that brand registry does. So not sure where they got that info, but it just seems like no one really is understanding how these systems works, but some flag has been set up. So potentially you can get flagged if you
do this. So you disputed it. They accepted the dispute.
And they didn't accept the dispute. We had to escalate it to get it accepted.
Initially not, but they did eventually. And I'm just wondering how many other use cases are floating around out there.
Well, I've seen a few people that have been flagged for detail page misuse, but they haven't actually committed detail page misuse. It just seems like what they're doing appears suspect to seller performance's tools because they don't know how this works.
Yeah. And also people report abuse about things like this all the time, and they probably miscategorize what's abuse and what's a correction. So what worries me is that some of the people who are adjudicating these matters don't know the difference between what's abuse and what's a correction to it.
Well, and what worries me is also that we provided proof that showed that the information that they had updated into was in fact the correct information. We provided proof from the manufacturer of the product, and that still wasn't accepted.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of the people who were told to get authorization letters from a brand and like they were the brand. So some people sent a letter or a dispute saying we're the brand and here's a letter from us saying that we're the brand and they rejected it and said, you need to get it from the brand. We can't accept it from you. That was interesting.
Right. Well, and they also said that you need to have authorization from the brand to update detail pages, which has never been an Amazon policy.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to talk a little bit today, too, about this idea that you can designate, just because you mentioned brand registry, you can designate a brand registered agent, but people are getting busted for misusing that, I guess, or their agent is doing things that the brand has to do themselves. Is that what you were telling me earlier?
Oh, so you can add a registered agent to your brand registry, but Amazon policy states that the rights owner has to be the one to create the brand registry for the brand.
Right. But I mean, you can have another party help you create brand registry, right? Some of the brand owners aren't equipped.
No, like the brand owner needs to be the one that submits the initial application. Like it needs to be the brand owner's email and
beneficial account. Ownership.
The owner of the trademark.
Right.
Or if it's a company that owns a trademark, somebody that works for the company.
So people
it can't be a third party.
People got in trouble for grabbing somebody else and having them submit the paperwork for them? Is that where that was coming from?
Well, yeah, because they become the primary owner of the brand in Amazon system then. And so then there have been multiple issues, which we have worked on, where maybe they had a misunderstanding with the agency and now the agency is holding their brand registry hostage and they can't manage their own brand because somebody else
owns
their brand. And
that's interesting political stuff to talk.
Well, but I think that's why they made this policy. So they don't end up with all of these people who can't control their own brand because somebody else enrolled.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah,
I would think so.
Because they've had many contacts because we've worked on some of them. For people who couldn't access their brand registry because of this.
Well, I think the general trend is they don't want you just adding random user permissions without thinking about it first. Just for Seller Central access, never mind brand registry.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're the brand owner, once you have brand registry, you can add people to help you manage it. They just want the primary, similar to the seller account, whoever's managing the primary controls everything. So you don't want to have somebody who is not part of the rights ownership to control your account.
Right. It's all of these are trendy right now. The push for misidentified brands, PDP, product detail page abuse. I just think there's too many mistakes, maybe not malevolent behavior necessarily, but
mistakes on both sides. I mean, I still see sellers making these mistakes, trying to rebrand ASINs because they changed their brand name. And that's a violation of Amazon's policy as well. So if you're suspended for that, that is a legitimate action. Even if you owned both of the brands, you're still not supposed to rebrand a product on Amazon. You're supposed to make a new ASIN name.
So how come there's so many people who do that and it doesn't get flagged immediately? It just comes up way later.
Because Amazon is inconsistent in their enforcement, which is pretty much what I say about
it. But that can't be that difficult to design a tool where it's like, oh, you changed the brand name. We're going to have to review this today.
I mean,
there's
a lot of things where their system shouldn't even allow it to happen. But it's something that people will get suspended for like years after they do it.
Yeah. Like the oversized logo, oversized storefront. That was my favorite one from back in the day. We got all these complaints of our competitor is breaking the rules for the size of the font and storefront name or in the size of the logo.
And just things like that. That would be very easy to automate. Just like, no, like you get an error message.
We're all just looking at each other. You know, we've done like 10 of these today. Isn't there any way to just stop people from doing oversized?
It's the same when I work on restricted products. The seller will sell 100 of the same kind of product, but only one of them will get printed. It's just there is no consistency. It's the same when sellers like to tell me that, well, everybody else is doing it. And I'm like, yes, because they're inconsistent in their enforcement.
Which takes me back to the variations, which is where we started, and I think that's a good place to end, because at some point, now that sellers are reporting a lot of bad variations of their competitors, which didn't used to happen so much, at some point, sellers have to start understanding that they're not going to get away with just fixing bad variations and going back to business as usual.
I mean, for me, I think the most annoying part of the variation thing is that I know that they have Amazon account managers from Amazon who are telling them to make bad variations.
I know that too. I've seen some of the emails and heard some of the calls where we should maybe kind of figure that out for a second, because often the SAS core rep tells the brand, we checked on this. We know you're worried about it. Or I said something on a call and they said, okay, so somebody's worried about this for compliance. Mm-hmm. Or half the time you've already looked at it and you already know it's wrong. So I just relay the message and they say, nope, we went to the teams that build variations for Amazon or work on compliance or whoever. The bottom line is the SAS core person says somebody in the know signed off on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's being used as the rationale.
Did you tell them that we've worked on suspended accounts that had been told that they could make the variations by Amazon?
Well, the good news was a couple of those people got out of hot water by saying, I've got it in writing from my SAS core manager that this is okay to do. And they kind of let them off the hook, but everything still had to be fixed. And then the issue sort of dissipated. The bad news is I have to be on calls with people where I say, I understand you're saying this is compliant. Why are they getting warnings for policy violations? Because
well, and we've seen that a lot. Their SAS is like, this is fine. And then they get a warning.
Yeah.
And then the SAS is like, it's fine. Just recreate it.
Well,
why am I getting warnings if it's fine?
They just said, oh, those silly, crazy policy teams, they sent the wrong message. That's a mistake. And I said, okay, can we hang our hat on that? And we're just going to go with, this was just a mistake, because typically we tell people, no, we have to appeal this until we get it in writing.
You're also way more likely to be suspended if they warn you about a variation, split it, and then you recreate that same variation.
Well, this is kind of what I was building up to, is there's tons of suspensions now for evasive behavior.
Yes.
In breaking listing policies. So if you just go right back and do it again.
Well, then your appeal, well, usually they don't even give you an appeal at that point. Then you have to give a dispute.
Yeah.
But now it's, well, we've told you this is wrong. Why did you do it a second?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So some people, the dispute basis was, your teams told us that this was okay and we can prove that. And the disputes were accepted, but I don't know if that's going to work every time.
I doubt it. I mean, I've also heard of people that it was accepted, but then they were resuspended afterwards.
Yeah. So kind of a hodgepodge of things today, but just in conclusion.
Listen to Amazon when it comes to their policy.
Think about that. And also just think about ahead of Prime Day, things like this that need to be mopped up now versus 3 weeks from now. Because there's only mere weeks remaining, not many weeks between now and Prime Day. And Prime Day is closer to early July this year, not long after the holiday weekend or week. So think about this stuff now and prevent problems from crashing in. Because as we like to say, sometimes your competitors observe what you're doing and they hesitate to report until it's closer to a big sales day or event.
Yes.
And then they report it. And as long as it's valid, you could lose those listings overnight, which could be right before Prime Day.
Yep. All they need to do is take you out for a couple of days to for big sales events. So,
yeah.
We see it every year. That's why we usually end up working holidays.
I know Prime Day is a few days, but you could lose 2/3 of that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still important to keep an eye on it. So anyway. Thank you, Leah, for your illustrious insights, as I called them.
Yeah, we're using illustrious a lot today.
Yes. Well, compliance is a hot topic right now, and I've been talking myself hoarse on a lot of other videos about suspensions that we'll be rolling out bit by bit, as we typically do. But if you have any questions on this or any other crazy messages Amazon sends you that you can't make heads or tails of, feel free to show them to us. And when I say us, I mean feel free to show them to Leah, because she can interpret any compliance stuff much, much better than I can. So we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.